Welcome to Cathedral Square, hosted by Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. For the next half hour, you'll have an opportunity to find out about some of the history, little-known facts, and the upcoming events at the beautiful campus on the corner of Chapman and Lewis, or as we like to say, at the intersection of faith and reason. Here now to get us started is your co-host, Hank Evers.
Welcome to Cathedral Square with your host, Father Christopher Smith, the Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. I'm Hank Evers, Director of Marketing for the Diocese of Orange. Father Christopher, we have quite the property. And, today it's a parish. Tomorrow, well, a place of pilgrimage. Christ Cathedral is much too many. So how do you see this transition, moving from a parish once the cathedral is complete into a place of pilgrimage?
Well, Hank, this is so exciting because of the opportunities we have here at Christ Cathedral to be that. We have, I would like to describe the anchor community, which is Christ Cathedral Parish. And then when the cathedral opens, we will be welcoming people here literally from all over the world. And pilgrimages are great because they are all about a journey. And that reminds me of the journey of faith that we're all on together as Catholics. And journeys have great spots and they have difficult spots. And a pilgrim is really somebody who is very attentive to the journey. And the destination is important and how you get there is also important. So to think about Christ Cathedral as a place that people, in addition to those who come here regularly in our parish community, will draw people from all over the world, to me means that these people will have had to travel in many different ways in their life to actually want to come to Christ Cathedral as their destination. This reminds me of a beautiful line that John O'Donohue once wrote. He was an Irish philosopher and poet, a brilliant man, gone to the Lord now. But he said this about the visitation of Mary when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. You know, the scripture says that Mary went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She really wanted to get there. However, the scripture tells us she went alone, and she went over terribly dangerous hill country to get there. And she herself had just said an amazing yes to being the mother of God. And now she finds out that her elderly cousin is pregnant. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be carrying all that news and content in my life. And so John said this. He said, "No one will ever know how far Mary really had to travel in her heart to go to visit her cousin Elizabeth."
Quite the journey, yes, indeed.
Quite the journey. And so that reminds me that we don't know, none of us, how far someone has had to travel in his or her heart, even to get to the day that they're living life in Jesus about. And so to think that people have had to plan, to be inspired, to be motivated, to come to Christ Cathedral and then end up here where we welcome them is a very spiritually powerful kind of reflection. And I know that every time I see somebody on this campus now, I always remember, you know what? I don't know how far this person really had to travel in their heart to get here today. Certainly they had, some had to travel a couple of blocks, some traveled miles and miles across the globe to get here. But the here is where their life in the Lord is celebrated and affirmed. So the parish will welcome the pilgrims. We will be transformed as a place of pilgrimages because pilgrimages in themselves are occasions of grace for all of us.
That is a remarkable response. And, you know, Father, you were responsible in great part for the transition, the early transition from St. Callistus to Christ Cathedral campus, and the transition of the name, the parish name,
St. Callistus yes. to Christ Cathedral. Yes. And that was maybe a mile down the road, but as you said, quite a journey in the hearts of many parishioners. But that transition took place. You were the shepherd behind that. And once complete, it's interesting, I believe, just from appearance, that the parish itself has grown in many ways, not just in number.
The parish has grown in many ways, definitely. We have grown spiritually, and we have grown in terms of the number of people who are coming to the cathedral every week to celebrate Eucharist. You know, when the parish, which was called St. Callistus, got word that it would be moving, it wasn't immediately received very well. I mean, who wants to move from your home of 50 years? The people built the church, you know, and so it was a hard thing to grasp at the time. I'm sure similar again to what I was reflecting on before about Mary. I mean, you're going to be the mother of God's son. I mean, what? Transformations are incredibly difficult and complicated. And I remember very specifically, because I happened to be helping, I think, by God's providence, I was helping out at St. Callistus. I was vicar for priests at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was helping out with Sunday Masses in Spanish and English with no thought at all that the parish would ever be moving to Christ Cathedral or that I'd ever be rector of Christ Cathedral. Anyway, when that was becoming clear, we engaged in a whole process of pilgrimage, if you will, in our hearts, beginning by the Scripture. Every major transformative event in the Scripture involved two things: a change of place and a change of name. And that began with Abram, who became Abraham, who traveled to a new place to be, as the Scripture says, the father of all nations. Your descendants will be as many as the grains of sand on the beach. And then if we think about the scriptural transition of Peter, you know, you are Peter and upon this rock, but he didn't start out as Peter. His name changed. And he also had to travel with Jesus as a disciple of the Lord. We think of all the transitions in the Scripture that involve the place, a new place and a new name. So St. Callistus Parish traveled to the Christ Cathedral campus. It wasn't called Christ Cathedral then. It was called Crystal Cathedral then, became Christ Cathedral, and then the name changed. The name change was very significant, because the people's identity was very bound up, and we're parishioners of St. Callistus Parish. So we've worked very hard to honor the legacy of the St. Callistus community, which has now become the Christ Cathedral community. And the welcome aspect of that is so important, because the community now has to be a place that we know that it's not just our parish. This is the diocese's parish, and now kind of the world's parish and place, with, and especially will be when the cathedral opens. So we've been preparing ourselves spiritually, and the geographic transition is another one when we actually move into the cathedral, because we're going to have to learn how to use the building and
exactly,
all those
yeah,
kinds of things.
So. Sure. So the cathedral is so diverse. The campus is diverse. The parish is diverse. And the activities on this campus are amazingly diverse. Again, aligning itself with parish activities, some are diocesan activities, and some are purely cultural activities, right?
Yes, we have a number of activities that are related to the ministries that any parish would have, which would be a faith formation and sacramental preparation and ministry to the ill and homebound, outreach ministry, ministry to people who are wanting to be received into the church, adult education, youth ministry, young adult ministry. These are all ministries that are part of every parish. And at a parish like Christ Cathedral, and there's other parishes in the diocese like this, we have to provide these ministries in three languages and be able then to adapt those ministries culturally so they speak to the actual people who will be participating in them. The great thing about being on the Christ Cathedral campus is that we also can utilize it goes two ways. we can participate very readily in the events that are sponsored by the diocese that are right here on our campus, and the diocese can benefit from the events that we sponsor as Christ Cathedral Parish, like the Food, Faith, and Song event that we had recently.
It was with Father Rob Galea,
yes,
and Father Leo Padalina.
Yes, yeah, the cooking priest.
There you go.
He's called. Yeah. And he prepares a meal there while people are having a meal, and he has these wonderful spiritual reflections about food and nourishment. And then Father Rob, he's a musician, and he gave an incredible reflection and leadership at the adoration that followed the dinner. And it was a great success, again, sponsored by the parish, and we invited people from all over the diocese to come.
So, again, something like that, I heard, drew over 900 people, and that's
yes,
an enormous success.
It
you
did.
Know, for a weeknight
yeah,
on the campus.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, it really is. That's exciting.
Yes.
You're listening to Catholic Square with Father Christopher Smith, and we're talking about Christ Cathedral, the activities, the culture, the parish, and how this is impacting our mother church. Father Christopher, you mentioned events. We do have something very big coming up, I believe,
yes,
opening on April 13th.
Yes, the Sistine Chapel event. It will be a wonderful display of some of the art from Michelangelo's art from the Sistine Chapel. And the art will be life-size like it is in the Sistine Chapel, so people will be able to walk through and gaze up to the ceiling and see some of the paintings, Michelangelo, reproductions of the paintings that Michelangelo did in the Sistine Chapel. And I have never been to this exhibit in other places it's been. However, it's had great reviews and is a very powerful experience. And so that's going to open up on April the 13th. And it's really wonderful from a liturgical point of view because that will be right before Easter. And it will be a great opportunity for people to come to have a spiritual experience before and then during the whole Easter season, because much of Michelangelo's work has to do with salvation history.
So the Michelangelo, I guess, had 34 pieces, 34 masterworks that are displayed in the Sistine Chapel, mostly on the ceiling and in the periphery of the ceiling.
Yes.
And those are all going to be up close. They're not only life-size, but you'll be able to see them up close as opposed to in the Sistine having to look way up on the ceiling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to see them up close. I don't know that there'll be all 34 at the exhibit. Are there?
I believe all that. Well, what I read was that,
yeah,
all 34 will be on display, and that's impressive, including,
yes,
you know, we talk about masterworks, but the Last Judgment.
Yes.
That I think Michelangelo was 67 years old when he completed that, and that is just remarkable. And the rendering of that, which is 40 feet by 40 feet, will be hung beautifully in the Cathedral Cultural,
yes,
Center.
Yes. Yes.
So that, in and of itself, is something. I mean, you could study that, I think, for hours. There's so much to see in that beautiful piece.
Yes, and also this is another example of the interaction that's possible at Christ Cathedral.
So much to talk about, so much to see and do here on Christ Cathedral campus, and you're going to be able to hear more about that from our host, Father Christopher Smith, when we come back. Welcome back to Cathedral Square with your host, Father Christopher Smith, the Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. I'm Hank Evers, Director of Marketing for the Diocese of Orange. So, Father Christopher, we've been talking about this campus and the cathedral and the excitement it all entails. Probably one of the greatest aspects once somebody walks into this beautiful cathedral will be the sacred art that they're going to be faced with. And I think, you know, even before walking into the building, they're going to see something very special at the main entrance. Now, what would that be?
Yes, the main entrance, or what we're calling the festal doors, have some artwork on them that's bronze bas-relief. And these doors, each door is 14 feet wide.
Oh.
So they're huge.
How thick are they?
They're very thick doors, and they're on a pivot the way they open. So when they're actually opened, the doors will be parallel to the building itself. And it'd be very dramatic opening and closing. And those doors won't be open at every celebration. They'll only be open at special celebrations. And we have a very wonderful artist by the name of Pablo Eduardo. He's our sculptor. And he has crafted the artwork for the festal doors, the artwork for the narthex when you walk into the cathedral, and then other artwork, which I can talk about eventually, in the cathedral itself. The doors are magnificent, and they're very carefully thought out, the way that we wanted to, the message we wanted to communicate.
Well, they tell a story.
They tell a
right?
story, yeah. Absolutely. And the story at the outside of the cathedral on the doors begins with creation. So there's a depiction of the planets and then the creation of man. And then there's a depiction of the paradise. And then in the very middle, where the doors come together, is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with the serpent wrapped around the tree. And then on the other side of that, we see Adam and Eve, and then the fall, and the expulsion from paradise.
Oh, my.
Which, of course, is the whole reason for the coming of Jesus in the first place, which is to save us from our original sin. And so when the doors open, then the first thing that you will see, again, bronze bas-relief. It's a band of bronze that's probably 3 feet tall and goes the width of the narthex and the width of the doors. There is a depiction of the Paschal Lamb, Jesus, who is sitting on the Book of the Seven Seals. This is all taken from the Book of Revelation. And in the Book of Revelation, when each of the seven seals is broken, if you will, that is eventually leading to the ultimate vision of Jesus victorious over sin and death. And so on either side of the Paschal Lamb, we have Mary and we have saints. Also, one touch I really like is palm trees, because in the Book of Revelation, there's a description of these palm trees in the vision that was had of the breaking of open of the seven seals.
Sure.
I like that, too, because we have a lot of palm trees here
yeah.
in Southern California and right outside our cathedral. We also, on that piece of art, then, we have some of our recently declared saints, the last three sainted popes. We have Pope St. John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, and John Paul the 2nd. And we also have Kateri Tekakwitha, Native American woman. We also have Oscar Romero. And we also have the saints that represent the cultures of our community, who are the Vietnamese martyrs, the Mexican martyrs, the Korean martyrs, the American martyrs, the cloud of witnesses, if you will. So you move from the beginning of creation, the creation of humanity, the fall, open the doors. There's the Paschal Lamb on the Book of the Seven Seals, representing the victory of Jesus over sin and death, and then the cloud of witnesses with Mary and all the saints.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, in the earlier segment today, we spoke about Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel exhibition, and that's wonderful. It will draw people to our campus, but it's running from April 13th through January 11th. But this, what you're talking about now, Pablo Eduardo's art,
yes.
This is something that's permanent.
Yes,
and this
there.
Is spectacular.
Yes.
This is something that people, pilgrims, everyone will want to see and not just glance at. This is something that you could literally study. 28 feet, is that correct? 2 14-foot
yes.
doors.
Uh-huh.
So if 28 feet of the story of creation, and then to go inside
yes.
and continue that story of Revelation.
Yes.
That is remarkable.
And what I love about this is that this is really in the tradition of our church in the ancient cathedrals, because there wasn't a lot of, the printed word didn't exist for a long time anyway, and it was through sacred art that people learned about their faith. And so the depictions that I'm talking about will be learning tools and catechetical tools, not just for kids, but for everybody. I don't think that we often think about what led up to Jesus, you know, and what is the victory of Jesus over sin and death all about? To really reflect on the mysteries and the history of our salvation is really important to do, and our cathedral will forever have that story.
Oh, my gosh.
There.
You know, I really hadn't thought about that, but aside from being beautiful art and a story to tell,
yes,
this is a teaching tool.
Teaching tool.
So, you know, parents with their kids, yes, the kids can ask questions about what is this and that.
Exactly.
And it allows the parents to help reinforce and to provide that element of faith formation to their children.
Yes, and I envision the school kids from our Catholic schools in the diocese coming here with their religion teacher and with us guiding them. And the beautiful thing about this kind of art, you can touch it.
Yeah,
it's made out of bronze and it's beautiful. But you can go.
You're not going to damage it.
You're not going to damage it,
right.
and you can touch it. Yeah. And there's something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we will have a beautiful teaching catechetical tool. That will be always part of our cathedral.
Oh, that is. That's really, really exciting. Well, once you're inside, whether you enter through the festal doors during one of the occasions when they're open or through any of the other doors, and now you're inside the cathedral, there is so much to see. And perhaps, you know, one of the first things that would strike someone would be the altar and what's above the altar, the baldacchino, and what's hanging from that. Maybe you'd like to speak about that edifice.
Sure.
It's really beautiful.
Well, the altar itself is magnificent. It's 8 feet square, so it's massive. And it's made out of a beautiful marble and will in itself is the centerpiece of the cathedral. Hanging over the altar is what's called the Crux Gemata, or it's a crucifix, but it's in a style. It's a modern style of a very ancient kind of cross that had gems in it. Ours has beautiful, precious stones in it. Mm. And the corpus of Jesus is carved out of a bleached wood. It was carved in Italy. And it has a very interesting depiction of Jesus. Jesus crucified and Jesus triumphant at the same time. Because in addition to the crown of thorns that Jesus wears on his head, above that is a regal crown that symbolizes his resurrection. And in the way that the artist depicted Jesus, in many crucifixes, you'll see the Jesus's feet are crossed, mm-hmm, and the nail put through the feet. Well, in this depiction, which has a history in sacred art of the Catholic Church, his 2 feet are resting on a piece of wood, with the nails, of course, but the 2 feet are resting on the wood. There's a certain serenity about the Lord in this depiction, crucified and resurrected. It's very interesting. Both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So once again, there's a story. It's not just art, and it does represent Jesus, but both through the crucifixion, the passion, and the resurrection.
Exactly. And then we'll be able to, people will ask about that depiction and the shape of the cross. The crossbars are equal. They're all equal size. Again, that's to represent the victory of Jesus. And the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end, those are also depicted on the crucifix. So it tells a story in itself.
Indeed. You're listening to Cathedral Square with Father Christopher Smith. Father, again, so many beautiful pieces of art in there, but I believe that there is something in there that's attributed to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, we will have a beautiful mosaic of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's being crafted in Italy.
Mm.
I can't wait to see it because I love mosaics myself anyway. Yeah. I think they're just a beautiful art form. And our mosaic of Our Lady of Guadalupe is, I believe it's 9 feet tall and 5 feet wide.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's quite big. And then it's going to be framed in this beautiful handcrafted frame, again made in Italy. And for me, it's been so exciting because I got to have a hand in helping to pick out the different designs for the frame and the color and all that, working with the studio there. And the donor who is gifting us with this wonderful piece of art.
That's terrific.
And Our Lady of Guadalupe, the mosaic will hang on the wall of the south side of the cathedral. Mm-hmm. And I think I've mentioned this before, the positioning of it is quite lovely. Mary is often referred to as the first among all the disciples of Jesus. That's another way we talk about Mary. And so the shrine has Mary looking out, gazing over the whole congregation. And I love the thought of Mary there looking out and with the congregation gathered for worship. And so the placement of the shrine there will very beautifully demonstrate that Mary is part of us, Mary is protecting us, looking out over us. Another part of the mosaic or the shrine that is unique but not singularly unique. This is the case in other places, but we've also had crafted a crown that will be placed on Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, a gold crown. Mm-hmm. And so on special celebrations, we will be able to crown Mary, if you will, and place that on the mosaic. And it's a beautiful design as well. So we have these great elements that will go into making that shrine quite stunning. And again, as any sacred art, it tells a story. The story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who appeared to St. Juan Diego, an affirmation of the faith of the indigenous peoples of the time and the dignity that they have in the eyes of God. And, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas, and she's also the patroness of the Diocese of Orange.
Yes. Yeah. And here at Christ Cathedral, there's a very large Vietnamese community.
Yes.
And I think that there will be, in the near future, an Our Lady of Lavang shrine as well.
Yes, there will be a shrine to Our Lady of Lavang, very revered by the Vietnamese community. That will be an outdoor shrine, and that's on purpose as well, because Our Lady of Lavang appeared in a forest to a group of people who were very afraid because of conflicts that were going on at the time. And so she represents to the people a protection and a promise of God to be with them always. And the beautiful shrine will be, it's in the design phase. We're ready to begin construction in a few months, and funds have been raised, especially through the Vietnamese community, to help build that shrine. This shrine in itself will attract tens of thousands of people to Christ Cathedral over the years. Again, another way for pilgrims to come here.
Oh, and to share a story.
To share a story.
Back to stories.
Yes.
I mean, that's our heritage.
That's right.
It's so important.
Exactly.
Well, Father, thank you so much for sharing with us the imagery and the stories and all that we have to look forward to when Christ Cathedral opens. And that's July 17. It's a big day. So after that, every Sunday, Saturday evening and Sunday, we'll look forward to the Masses there. Father Christopher, we thank you so much for all that you're doing here. You've been listening to Christ Cathedral with Father Christopher Smith. Father, would you kindly close the show with a prayer and your priestly blessing?
Loving and gracious God, we're so grateful for the faith that you have given to us. We are grateful for your guidance and inspiration and continued graces flowing through this project of the development of Christ Cathedral. We ask you, loving Father, to be with all of us as we go about our days. We ask you to help us open our hearts to always know of your presence and the presence of your Son with us. And in all that we do, we desire to give you glory and praise. And so now, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon all of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Cathedral Square Radio Show with Father Christopher Smith and his co-host, Hank Evers. To hear this program again or to download the podcast, go to OCCatholic.com and click Radio. Be sure to share and tell a friend as well. Have a blessed day.